this nation has faced times of hardship and trial, many hardships, many trials. And during those times, the president's aim is to comfort and to guide us, the American people, through this trial. Now, if you recall, after the 9/11 attacks, President Bush proclaimed on 9/14 a National Day of Prayer. He also visited Ground Zero and rallied the rescue workers. He further encouraged Americans to defeat terrorism by resuming their lives and going back to work. And then, maybe you remember this, on October 30th, 2001, the president threw out the first pitch in Game 3 of the World Series at Yankee Stadium. Friends, these are just a few ways President Bush tried to lift the morale of America in the face of such an awful tragedy. Well, today we want to see not a president's words, but God's words of comfort to the nation of Israel during a very dark time in their history. And thankfully, these words will also be of comfort to us. Now, a little resume about the book of Isaiah. It has, as you maybe know, two main parts. Chapters 1 through 39 emphasize the judgment of God. The judgment of God on Judah, chapters 1 through 12. The judgment on other nations, verses 13 through 23. The future tribulation and Isaiah's apocalypse, chapters 24 through 27. His judgment of Israel and Judah, chapters 28 through 35. And finally, God's judgment of Assyria, King Sennacherib. And I think we're all familiar with that story. The chapters are 36 through 39. Part 2 of the book of Isaiah encompasses chapters 40 through 66 and emphasizes the salvation of God, which is beautifully portrayed through the two comings of Christ, his first advent along with his second advent. And as one author writes, when one turns from chapter 39 to chapter 40, it is as though he steps out of the darkness of judgment into the light of salvation. And isn't that a picture of the Christian life? When we accept Christ as our Savior, when our lives are then found in Him, it's like we move from darkness to light, the darkness of judgment to the light of salvation. Now, when Isaiah wrote these prophecies, Judah's captivity was still about 100 years down the road in the future. But this prophet also foresees the day of God's salvation. And so he begins chapter 40 with the words of consolation. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. I don't know how it is with your heart, but I know my heart constantly needs comforting. And I hope this message, my prayer is that this message will bring comfort to your heart. We have 3 points in our outline. Point number 1 is God's comfort for His people. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. And then our second point is God's cry to His people. And we see that in verses 3 and 4. And then our last point, God's Christ is coming for His people, and we see that in verse 5. Now, let me say, when Isaiah references Christ's coming, he is including both advents. He does not see this present church age. In the prophet's mind, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53 then becomes the sovereign king of Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Again, our first point is God's comfort for His people. In verses 1 and 2, God's words of comfort declare to His people through Isaiah that their time of trial is almost over, and their Babylonian exile is drawing to an end. And yes, this time of trial did come because of her sin. But now our sin has been paid for, which means that God's blessings can return, and those blessings include comfort. Look at verse 1 with me. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. The Hebrew word used here for comfort means repent or comfort, which really tells us that true comfort only follows repentance. Remember, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so don't be fooled by the shallow laughter of those living in rebellion to their Creator. They cannot have peace in their soul because they don't have peace with God. They are living in sin. When a person is living in sin, when a person has not opened their heart to Christ, they do not know the Prince of Peace. And if you don't know the Prince of Peace, you do not have peace. But when there is repentance, when we turn from our sin, when we turn to the Savior, comfort follows. If you don't have peace of heart today, if you don't have comfort of heart today, look to Jesus. He is your comfort. He is your peace. Now, the repetition of the word comfort in verse 1 is used for emphasis. For God wants his people to be comforted, which, by the way, this word is seen numbers of times throughout chapters 40 through 66. In fact, 13 times you find God encouraging his people to be comforted. Now, in particular, we see in verse 2 that God wants Jerusalem, Judah's capital, to be addressed with comfort. And notice the words here, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Now the idea here is to speak so tenderly, so kindly that God's people take his message of comfort to heart and strengthened with the certainty that divine deliverance is coming. And this is all addressed in the message that Israel's warfare, as you see the rest of the verse, is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. Now, if you recall, as stated in the Mosaic covenant, God promised that he would bless his people if they lived according to his law. But on the other hand, he would curse them and eventually cast them out of the land if they disobeyed him. And you see that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Well, this divine cursing is seen as almost accomplished, meaning, yes, Israel has received a just and full judgment. Isaiah uses the word double as sufficient punishment for all her sins. And the punishment was first the devastation of their land and second, their captivity in Babylon. But now she is about to have a new start. And oh, to have a new start, a fresh start, to know that after we have confessed our sins, after God has been faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, we can live again. We can have hope again. The chastening of our sin is past, and we can begin a new chapter, and God can give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I say, my friends, that is comfort. That is the good news of the gospel. And so, yes, weeping may endure for a night, but with God's forgiveness, with God's comfort, joy comes in the morning. And Jesus is our joy. Israel's joy, the prophet is telling them, is coming. By the way, your joy and my joy is coming. We all know that the sun is going to set this afternoon and the sun will rise in the morning. That same assurance, and even with greater assurance, we should know that Jesus is coming. And what comfort and what hope that gives. Can you imagine how you would feel if this life was all that you had to look forward to? I would be a miserable person. But our Savior, Jesus, is coming. Well, we've looked at God's comfort for his people. I want us to focus, and this is our second point, God's cry to his people. Notice verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, verse 3 is clearly applied to the New Testament, and in particular to the ministry of a man named John the Baptist, as the one who cries in the wilderness. And I want us to just briefly turn to several verses that reference this man named John the Baptist, who really becomes or is the forerunner of our Savior. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The voice, or as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What is a synonym of Jesus? He is the salvation of God. And then one more passage, John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 19, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Every gospel writer addressed this forerunner of Christ and his cry to God's people. Now again, this voice here in Isaiah chapter 40 is not identified, but it is clear, as we have just read, that this prophetic voice, this cry, is from the desert prophet who prepares the way for the Lord Jesus by making a straight highway in the wilderness for him. Now certainly the entire nation of Israel was in a spiritual wilderness. And so consequently, each Israelite needed to get spiritually ready for the appearing of the Lord Jesus and his glory. And the particulars of Israel getting ready are seen in verse 4, where Isaiah speaks of raising the valleys and lowering the mountains and the hills and making the crooked straight and the rough places smooth, which is really hyperbole for men leveling or smoothing out roads on which a dignitary would travel when he came to visit. Today we say, let's roll out the red carpet. Well, in his Isaiah's day, the prophet was calling Israel to be smoothed out so that the Lord could come to Israel and rule. Meaning they were and they are to remove anything that would hinder the coming reign of the Lord. And all of this physical and spiritual work will be finalized and accomplished. In other words, Israel will be smoothed out when, as verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord is revealed. And this brings us to point 3, God's Christ is coming for his people. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Again, Isaiah is putting together both advents. Now, this glory of the Lord was initially seen in Christ's first coming, his first advent. Remember, the disciples beheld Christ's glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of course, his glory was manifested in his miracles, his message, and especially during his transfiguration, when his face shone as the sun and his clothing was white as the light. And you can see that in Matthew chapter 17. However, all flesh, all men, did not see Christ's divine glory during his first advent, which Isaiah tells us had something more in mind. And it is the glory of the Lord that will be revealed at Christ's second coming, for then every eye will see him, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem as he sits on the throne of his father David. And this coming glory is so sure and certain, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Friends, God's word is sure, and it cannot be broken. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Friends, the king is coming. Be prepared. The king is coming, and his glory will be revealed. And so we have seen that, yes, Isaiah anticipates Judah's trial of Babylonian captivity, but then he sees God's restoration through prophetic eyes, and he encourages God's people by saying, "Be comforted, be prepared, by repenting and living righteously. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed," which, by the way, is the climax of history. What is history? It's his story. Friends, Jesus is the climax. His coming is the climax of history. Be prepared. Be ready. And saying that, what should the truth of Christ's second coming, his second advent, mean for you, mean for me, as we live in these evil, corrupt, and apostate days? Maybe you're familiar with Kirk Cameron. He just came out with a faith-based book for children. It's a book of biblical values. Well, there are libraries in our country that will allow drag queens to come and read stories to children, but will not allow Kirk Cameron's book to be presented to these same children. We're talking about one nation that's supposed to be under God. How did we get that way? Maybe we're not focusing on the fact that Jesus is coming again. I think we have our focus on everything else but the fact that the king is coming again. And you and I will stand before that king. He is coming. Well, we are, obviously, we are to share the truth of Christ's eternal glory till he comes. We are to be occupying till he comes, which means our lives are to show forth his glory in all that we say and all that we do. We are, whatever we say and do, we are to do all to the glory of God. We are to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. Remember, the end of all things again is at hand. So we are to be sober. We are to watch unto prayer. We are to abide in Christ so that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We are to prepare the way for the Lord by setting our affection on things above and not on things of this earth. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are to be the church gathered. We are to be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. For just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. Again, we are to become more and more and more like Christ. And how? By the power of Christ's Spirit being allowed to work within us. Be filled with the Spirit. Paul said that the life which he now lived in the flesh, he lived by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Friends, the deliverer, the rescuer, the Savior is coming. He is returning. The King is coming. And what words of comfort. Because of the tender mercy of our God, the day spring on high will again visit us, and He will give light to those who sit in darkness. He will give light to those who are experiencing the shadow of death, and He will guide our feet in the way of peace. For the hallelujah chorus resounds, and He shall reign forever and ever. Oh, let's comfort one another with these words. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful words of the King. Friends, Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.